I've got my own story of a small boy, of a five-year-old boy, who'd told his dad that he'd like to have a baby brother. And along with his request, he offered to do whatever he could to help. So his dad paused for a moment and then replied, "I'll tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee that God will give you one." So Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge. He went to his bedroom early and he started to pray for a baby brother. And so he prayed every night for a whole month. But after that month, he started to get a little bit skeptical, thinking, surely you just don't pray 2 months for a baby boy and wham, a little baby brother turns up. And so he stopped praying. After another month, Johnny's mum went into hospital, and then she came back home. And Johnny's parents called him into their bedroom. And so he walked in cautiously, not expecting to find anything. But there on the bed was a little bundle laying right next to his mum. His dad pulled back the blanket, and there wasn't just one baby brother, but there were two. His mother had had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Now, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Johnny hesitated a little and then looked up at his dad and said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I quit when I did?" So this morning, we're continuing our series on prayer. And we come to the last P, which is all about perseverance. We thought about the purpose of prayer. We thought about the amazing privilege that it is to come into God's presence. We thought about the priority it should be within our lives. And last week, with Pauline, we're thinking about the power of prayer. And especially as you look through the Bible, the number of instances where you see the power of prayer. And we're thinking about, you know, as the early church gathered together. And so we're thinking about perseverance today. And Jesus practiced perseverance in his own life. Remember, he spent whole nights in prayer to his Father. And that takes perseverance, and it takes incredible persistence to do that. And at the end of his life, when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he is in prayer, saying to his Father, "If there's any other way." And that prayer was so intense that he sweat drops of blood. Jesus knew what it was to stand firm in prayer. And he wants us to learn as well. He wants us to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking. So two parables for us this morning. If somebody could look up Luke 11:5-13. And if some of you want to look up Luke 18:1-8. If somebody would read, if two people, if one would read the Luke 11 and one the Luke 18, that would be wonderful. So the first one is Luke 11:5-13. And the second one, Luke 18:1-8. If anybody would like to read the Luke 11 one.
"Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, let me bring 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door's locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
If somebody could read Luke 18:1-8.
"Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with all her coming. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth.
So here we have two well-known parables. And in the first parable, we've got a man who goes to his friend at midnight for three loaves of bread because he's run out. And a friend of his has arrived on a journey. And so there was no way if you think about the houses in the days of Jesus, actually they were often a single room. And they have a split floor, so you had the animals on the ground floor, and then just slightly raised up, you would have had the family. So there was no way that this man could have come to the door without disturbing and waking the whole of the family. Now, it took boldness for the man to approach his friend at midnight. And he did it quite shamelessly, really, asking for bread, because he really did need it. And because another friend of his had turned up on a journey. And in Middle Eastern culture, hospitality is a really huge thing. And really, it was a cultural obligation for him to provide food for his friend, even though, in a way, he turned up unexpectedly. It's interesting, when the friend in the house said, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. It's interesting what the man did who needed the bread. He just didn't hang his head and walk home in shame. He kept going, didn't he? He kept knocking. He knew he was in a dire predicament. And what Jesus is doing in this parable, he's not comparing God to the sleeping neighbour. He's contrasting the two. What he's saying is, if a sleeping brother, on the basis of friendship or social custom or etiquette, will meet the needs of a friend, how much more will your Father in heaven meet the needs of one of his children? And so Jesus concludes, he says, ask and it will be given to you. And then in the second parable, we see this persistent widow. She's been mistreated, she's become disgruntled. Day after day, she's bringing her case before a judge. And this judge neither fears God nor cared what people thought. And so the judge at first is quite indifferent to the widow's requests. But then he's compelled to reconsider because she refuses to take no for an answer. And then he finally relents and he says to himself, though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow kept bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And Luke, right at the beginning of that parable, identifies her persistent petitioning in advance as an image and a lesson in prayer. He prefaces the parable with the words, and he, talking about Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Jesus' point is that God isn't like some insensitive judge who must be badgered to respond to our requests, but that how much more will God, our good judge and Father, bring about justice for us, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Both of these parables are about us persevering in prayer. But why does God want us to persevere? Why should we have to keep asking God for what he already knows that we need? Does God need to be nagged? Isn't asking God for the same thing repeatedly a lack of faith? or a sign that we don't trust that God heard our prayers in the first place, or a sign of us not accepting what God's response might be to them. They may be some of the questions that we actually ask ourselves when we think about persisting in prayer. But the great thing is, God does know our needs even before we're aware of them. God does hear what our heart is relaying even before it becomes audible to us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so there must be a purpose for persistent prayer. And that purpose is to continually to build and transform our relationship with God. God often waits for our passionate persistence in prayer. It isn't that he's reluctant and he needs to be persuaded. Our persistence doesn't change God. It changes us. It develops in us a heart and a passion for what God wants. And the more time we take in intimacy with God, the closer our relationship becomes, the more consistent our prayer time becomes, the better we listen to what God has to tell us, and the more we hear God and know that God hears us. Persistence deepens our relationship with God, but it also compels our hearts to examine what they really want most. Do we really want God's will? Or do we want our own will? Do we want God even more than what we're asking for? If we always get exactly what we wanted the first time we asked, then inevitably we begin to treat God as our genie, only summoned to give us our heart's desire. But God uses persistence in prayer to mould, to even transform our desires, to change how we pray and even what we're praying for, so that gradually our hearts become closer to God's heart. We grow closer and we understand what God's will is. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn in the flesh to be removed. He doesn't tell us what it is, simply that it's painful and it's a source of torment. He calls it a messenger of Satan. And when God didn't answer his prayer as asked, Paul changed how he was praying. He prayed that God would help him to rely on God's grace, that God's grace would be sufficient for him, God's strength, God's power, that he would be made perfect, that God would be made perfect in Paul's weaknesses. Now, I'm sure we've all got stories of frustration in prayer. And we often experience frustrations, don't we, when our best efforts to communicate result in perhaps some unsatisfactory response, or even worse, we don't get any response at all. Have you ever sent an email that seems to take ages for a response to come back? Or you've sent a text and it just doesn't seem to get answered? I think we've all been there, haven't we? And sometimes we've been on the opposite end when it's just seemed to have just gone out of our mind. You might find that from me sometimes. I file it somewhere and then I forget I filed it. And then suddenly I find out where it is and I try and get back to you. But we know what it's like, don't we? It can be frustrating. And when we pray, we often equate the lack of an immediate response with God rejecting our prayers. I wonder if there are things that you've been praying for a long time. Does it seem to you that God perhaps has turned a deaf ear to some of your desperate pleas? Whether it's a plea for healing, finances, or maybe even protection. The problem is, when God is silent, we're often tempted to doubt his goodness. We're tempted to doubt, sometimes I think, that his promises can really be true. Sometimes we doubt that he will even answer our prayers. And in the silence, we almost hear the enemy say that God has forgotten us, that we don't matter, that actually there isn't any light at the end of the tunnel. And that can overwhelm us. That can cause unbelief to surface in our lives. So what do we do when heaven seems to be silent? I think at these times we need to remember that God, when answering prayer, actually first responds to our attitudes. As much as a parent responds to a precious child. And sometimes our childish actions and our attitudes can get in the way. They can affect a prayer's desired result. There might be unforgiveness. There might be selfishness. There might be doubt. There might be greed. There might be pride. There might be stubbornness. All of those things within us that hinder God's answer to prayer. And we also need to remember that God's ways aren't our ways, are they? His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. But we need to trust him. We need to trust him when we see nothing and when we hear nothing. We need to become still and remember that God is still God. We need to praise him for who he is, almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful. We need to ponder on what he's done for us in the past and thank him for what he's doing despite the situation we find ourselves in. God, thank goodness, isn't limited by our circumstances. With God, all things are possible. And we're not the first to experience such silence. Abraham waited years and years for God to provide the promised son. Joseph suffered silently and alone in Egypt until he came into adulthood, until his family rejoined him. And on more than one occasion, the Israelites faced captivity for hundreds of years as they waited for God to deliver them. In our daily devotions, we're going through Exodus at the moment and thinking about the Israelites in Egypt. 430 years they were in captivity, crying out to God. And exactly the exact day of the 430th year, God brings them out. They waited for the Messiah to be born. And in each of these circumstances, the waiting lasted far longer than those people would have anticipated. We have to remember that God looks at everything from an eternal perspective. He has a purpose for everything in our lives. And this is where knowing God's character and knowing his promises are so important for us. And we can't see God working, he's there. When we think our prayers are going unanswered, he's not silent. And when we wonder if he's forgotten us in the pain of our circumstances, God is present. Persistence in prayer demands patience. It demands waiting. That's the way that we grow. That's the way that we grow spiritually. George Muller, who a lot of you will have heard about, a Christian evangelist in the 1800s, was a great advocate for persistent prayer. And he said that when prayers aren't answered right away, God is using that time to grow our patience and our faith. Perhaps God desires to give us exactly what we've asked for, but actually only in a time and a way that the gift can really benefit us rather than actually harming us. If we'd asked for that and received it in the time that we wanted it, it wouldn't have been as good as the time that God believes is right. We have to learn to wait no matter how hard it is. The problem is, patience isn't one of our favourite words. It's certainly not one of mine. It's so exciting to run around and do things, but to wait and pray is really hard. It's hard work. And to keep from getting discouraged is another story. Now, we live in a culture where waiting isn't considered a virtue, is it? We want everything, not tomorrow, today. Because on Amazon, we can actually get some things today. We expect immediate responses, don't we? And I think we're starting to expect exactly the same from God. It's almost like we click our fingers and we expect God to respond within nanoseconds. But God sees things differently than we do. And waiting is often the best use of our time. We have to wait patiently and persist in prayer. And persevering in prayer means as well that we don't faint or we don't lose heart. And Luke uses those choice, the choice of wording lose heart in that second parable in Luke 18. He uses it in verse 1, which suggests which suggests really is our experience in waiting, that when we think God's delaying in answering, so often we can become disappointed, we can become tempted to give up, to lose heart, even though actually God isn't slow in answering, because God answers in his time, which is the right time. And it's why Jesus concludes that second parable. He concludes it with a question. He says, a rhetorical question. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Suggesting that unanswered prayers actually test our faith. We meet that test when we keep praying, when we don't lose heart in spite of our frustrations and our disappointments. Persistent prayer is a steady prayer. It's long term. It stands firm and it displays a trust in God that says, I'm going to believe you for the answer in your way and in your time. Persistent prayer is an act of faith. When we persist in prayer, we don't forget the prayer because we carry it with us. It's part of our routine. It's important to us. We knock and we knock and we knock at heaven's door. We're passionate about it. That's why we persist in the prayer. We're passionate about the prayer. E.M. Bounds, who was an American author and a Methodist minister, wrote this. He said, persistent prayer never faints or grows weary. It is never discouraged. It never yields to cowardice, but is lifted up and sustained by a hope that knows no despair and a faith that will not let go. Persistent praying has patience to wait and strength to continue. It never prepares itself to quit praying, and it refuses to get up from its knees until an answer is received. We know that God is good, and we know that God desires to give us good gifts. We know that we can continue to seek God through prayer and to make our requests known to him. We know that whatever we ask in his will is granted. We know that God's ways aren't our ways. We know that prayer isn't a matter of putting in an order and waiting for delivery. We also know that sometimes our hearts don't understand God's will. But in our persistence, we have to be willing to submit to God's will. When we know God and we trust his good character, we can repeatedly bring him the same request time and time again. And we can rest in the fact that his response will be best for us. We persevere in prayer because we're coming to an all-powerful and eternally loving Father who hears the cries of our hearts and ultimately has it all in hand. God knows us and loves us. And we never need to be afraid of his answers to our prayers. Amen. Just take a bit of time to reflect. I don't think we'll have the slide up, Chris. I don't know if you're struggling in prayer at the moment. I don't know if there's something that you've been praying a long time for and it feels like God is silent. What I want to do, just in a quiet time, perhaps we just close our eyes, I just want to read some scriptures to you. Just five scriptures which I pray God might use to talk to you and to encourage you to keep going. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. His word is truth. So let's take those words into our hearts. Let's believe them. Let's act on them. And let's keep being persistent in prayer. God loves it when we come to him time and time again. He loves it when we become intimate with him, when we share our concerns with him, when we repeatedly bring the same request, because he knows how important it is to us. God loves to speak to us, to share his heart with us. Lord God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come before you in prayer. Lord, we come because we come to worship you. We come because we come to bring you our request. But Lord, more importantly, we come to hear from you. Lord, we come to align our hearts with your heart, our wills with your will. Lord, help us not to give up in prayer, but to keep going, knowing that you are God, knowing that you are the God of the impossible, that you are a God who cares so much for us, a God who listens to us, God who is always active, even though we don't see and we don't understand. We thank you, Lord, that you are always active. How amazing that we can bring our requests to you and know that you hear them, and that the scriptures that we've read are true. So Lord, please forgive us when we so easily do give up, when we expect our answers within seconds almost. But Lord, help us to be patient. Lord, help us to know that your timing is good and is perfect. And Lord, you always seek the best for our lives and the circumstances that we face. So all honour and glory to you, Lord God. You are worthy. Amen.